Welcome to episode 51 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. This is Eric Borzeski in Erie, Pennsylvania, and Jack is joining us this week instead of Jeff in New Jersey.
Hello from New Jersey.
How's it going?
It's good. It's good. We've got spring. We've got spring coming.
Yeah, I don't have to put up with Jeff and his year-round good weather this week. And, starting off this week, we got a lot of stuff because we missed last week. First off, going back to last week, Vijay Singh won Bay Hill Invitational, the Arnold Palmer Invitational now, dusting off pretty much everybody in the final round. Came from a couple shots back and finished 30 shots ahead or so. His 31st career PGA Tour victory. Will Vijay Singh get to 40 wins, do you think? Or
I think he's got a real chance. I think Vijay is probably the greatest 40-year-old golfer of all time. You know, when Tiger gets there, that may change. But right now, I think Vijay's got a lock on that title.
Do you think Vijay is the number one international player of all time, or would you still have to give the nod to, say, Gary Player?
I'm old. I have to give it to Gary Player, but I think Vijay has made a strong run at it, and certainly in the modern era, he's the guy to beat.
Yeah, some people made the case that he's really only played the PGA Tour, whereas Gary Player and stuff played a lot of other tours too, so worldwide victories, Vijay Singh's number actually pales in comparison to many other people, on a tougher stage.
I think Vijay is like Willie Sutton. You know, you go where the money is, and that's why he's on the PGA Tour. I don't see a reason for him to play any other tour.
Pointing that out as a counter argument, but yeah, I mean, I wouldn't go play the South African Tour just for the heck of it either.
Exactly. But so. He is amazing. I am in awe of him for his play.
An impressive win, and Tiger Woods got back into contention in this event. He's won it, of course. He won it four consecutive times from 2000 to 2003. Was in contention. Was within a shot of the lead, and then three putted for a bogey or a double bogey on number 11, and then shot a 43 on the back nine. Probably a number we could shoot on a good day.
Well, it was good to see him human.
He's been human a lot this year, so.
Well, he has, and I can't quite put my finger on it. He is so good and so, I mean, he's the best in the world, and maybe the best ever. We'll talk about that later. But at the same time, you know, you just don't expect that out of Tiger Woods.
Well, Vijay Singh here, moving on, kind of a similar story. Anytime Vijay Singh wins, someone throws up a beef about Vijay Singh, and we'll link to it, and you can check it out in the show notes. But I've always heard that Singh kept his car in a media parking spot instead of the players' parking lot or something. Who knows? He was out playing. The guy makes a big beef out of it. I've always heard Vijay Singh is one of the most respected and liked players on the PGA Tour by his peers.
Well, I think he is. And I think it's because they respect his play, and I think it's the way he treats them. How he treats fans and volunteers, that's another story. Vijay is a pretty complex individual, not really loved in his home country because he doesn't go back there. He hasn't done the things that one needs to do to be popular there. You know, I think there's two sides to Vijay, and I think, like a lot of people, you can admire their play, but, you know, you can take their personality with a grain of salt.
I've seen him personally go almost be bipolar in some ways, and it doesn't even necessarily seem to be related to how he plays. I've seen him sign autographs on a practice day, and I've seen him immediately head to the range. It almost depends on where his mind is at the time. If he's done for the day, you know, he has the time. If not, he's in work mode, and so I can kind of understand that, if a little beyond respect, but I can understand it a little bit. So
I think bipolar is a very good word, Eric.
All right. Tiger Woods, of course, managed to come back from his back nine 43, win the Doral. With a back nine something or other. It wasn't a great final round. It shot one over par to wrap it up, but that's all he really needed to shoot. He intentionally played for bogey on the 18th hole. Got a little bit of a scare, perhaps, when Brett Wetterich stepped it close and, had Tiger three-putted. Wetterich made, it would have tied, but played the last hole for a bogey and shoots a one over 73, but wins by two shots. So
and amazing. Amazing. If anybody questions Tiger Woods' ability or focus or drive or competitiveness, I would like them to see replay that 50-foot lag putt he made on the 18th hole, knowing he had to really get down in two.
Right.
With Wetterich having a chance for a birdie there. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And the shot before that, to know that you don't need to get it close to two-putt, to know that you can two-putt from 50 feet on a tricky green on the last hole, you know, being content with your play for bogey strategy the entire way through it, I found impressive. But
I think that third shot got away from him a little. I don't think he meant to get it to the back of the green. He was going to put it in the water, that's for sure.
Right.
But at the same time, that was not his best shot. And, you know, something else about that final round the Tiger shot.
Played well, didn't putt well.
He grounded it out. He grounded it out. And,
right.
You know, I think in that fight, that last round, you really saw what makes Tiger so great. He was not playing his A game by any stretch, in my estimation. And he certainly wasn't putting very well. But he made it happen. And how many guys, no one else right now, can make it happen when they're not at their best like Tiger Woods? I mean, it's amazing to watch. Just amazing.
We'll be right back after this message from Titleist.
When you get in a fairway bunker, choke up on the club a little bit, and I like to aim for the top of the ball.
On long bunker shots, flatten your swing.
You want to feel down in the sand, and then use your instincts.
When you get a plug lie, all you want to do is take a steeper swing and explode down on the ball.
If you want to hit a punch shot, play the ball back in your stance.
When you're in the rough, you're going to want to hit a cut.
One more tip. Trust your Titleist.
You can learn a lot from the world's best players.
And welcome back. Jeff Smith is, of course, not joining us this week, but he wanted this story put in. It's a Phil Mickelson story by Jeff Bradley and published in ESPN, the magazine, of course, available online. You can check it out. The link in our show notes. Jeff had this to say about the article. I'll let Jack comment on it after I read this. Jeff says, Mickelson is a tough one to read, but I thought he did a great job of answering criticism that he's faced in recent years. It rings true with me. Mickelson's response showed me how much he is affected by criticism. He makes a good point when he says he has more wins than any of the legends he mentions. He, like all the rest, will be measured largely by his record in the majors. It's an important stat, and he's done well there in recent years. Three majors is already a great record, and I think he's got a couple more in him. I do think his game should be respected. He has a record to back up what he said here. I don't think he was wimping out when he said he doesn't compare himself to Tiger. Everyone knows that Tiger is perhaps the best golfer in history, and Mickelson is only showing respect when he admits he won't surpass Tiger. That's not any kind of large revelation. Long story short, it's finally good to hear what Phil really thinks. And Jack, your comments, it's an in-depth kind of interview or almost a soliloquy kind of, you know, monologue here. But
I tend to agree with Jeff, except that it's very hard to take Phil, and I'm a big Phil fan, but it's very hard to take him genuine. You know, the children running out on the green, his comments seem to me to be a little, I don't know, disingenuous.
PRIs?
Exactly. And as much as I like him and as much as I think he says the right things, I don't know.
Fair enough. One of the things he said recently is that he supports Tiger Woods' AT&T National Invitational having a smaller field. Jack, you weren't on when Jeff and I talked about this. What do you think? Do you think?
Oh, I think it's a great thing. I think it should be a limited field. I think, you know, as you've pointed out on the site and on the podcast, you know, if you want to be in it, earn your way into it. You know, it's right. Real simple.
And the Arnold Palmer event, you know, the Invitational there was 120 players. So you're only chopping off 24 guys on a field of 144. You know, it's not like a WGC event where you start with 74 and there's no cut. 120 is still a significant number of people.
Anybody who's making anybody who's keeping their card is making a handsome living.
All right. So Mickelson supports it. Being a top five player in the world, why not?
Absolutely.
So this is your story here on Tiger Woods. Go ahead and tell us about this.
Well, Tiger walked out after that last round. Palmer tournament. Walked out after the sparkling 43 on the back nine. Chose to walk out.
He went home. He didn't go in the press tent.
Exactly.
He walked out on the interview. And you don't like that.
I don't like that. First of all, I'm not a real fan of sports writers. But at the same time, sports writers represent the golfing fan. And when you walk out on the press, you in effect walk out on the golfing fan. I would have loved to hear from Tiger what it felt like to shoot a 43, because I do that pretty regularly.
It would have been interesting, but at the same time, and while I understand that point of view, two counterpoints would be, one, that Tiger is by far the most often interviewed, you know, spends the most time in the press room of anybody, regardless of whether he's even near the lead, just playing in a tournament, he's there versus, you know, pretty much everybody else, and certainly even among the top five, spends more time in the press room, probably says less than anybody else in that time. So I do think, you know, he's gone above and beyond in some ways. Sometimes, of course, that's what people want. They want Tiger, so it's tough for him to go above and beyond the expectations. But as far as what's required of him by me, I would say that he has. And then the second point that I would want to make is, you're pissed. You're Tiger Woods and you just shot 43 in a tournament where you were sniffing the lead, you know, one shot out of the lead. Is it better to go home rather than to go into the press tent and say something you're going to regret?
No, I I think, you know, with honor comes responsibility. I think there's some Latin saying that paraphrases that. You know, if you're the top golfer in the world and you're making $1 zillion a year, it's not just for your golf. It's everything around you. Now, he's been able to pull off the Michael Jordan stunt and keep the press at arm's length and his personal life at arm's length. And I kind of don't blame him for that. But there is a level at which you owe it to your public, who in the end are actually paying your bills, to say right. something. I think Mike Chelicek's comment on MSNBC, whatever site that was, whatever column that was, and he's not my favorite sports writer, but he made a good point that Nicklaus once tried to pull that stunt, and Dave Anderson from the New York Times went in the locker room and said, hey, you know, you're bigger news than the guy who won. And I think in some respects, Woods was bigger news. His closing 43 was bigger news than VJ's win.
Probably.
You know, and that's my point. That's part of his job.
You can certainly agree that neither of us really know what it takes to be Tiger Woods. So one of those things.
Amen to that.
So, you know, if for whatever reason, you know, that might have been an important thing for him to do, you know, just to go home and figure out. I've played badly and it takes me a couple hours to figure out why. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe he didn't really know. Maybe he wouldn't have been able to offer much insight anyway. Of course, you still feel he should have tried to offer whatever he had to offer. But there's a second article here we'll link to on Tiger Woods playing at Daybreak that basically, you know, hints at his work ethic and just the way he feels he has to go about things to, you know, avoid the media when possible. So we'll link to that. Nike, Tiger Woods company, of course, is having to recall the Sumo Square or the Sumo 2 or basically the square obnoxiously loud Sumos because a few didn't pass the characteristic time test, which is what the USGA and manufacturers now use instead of actual core testing or coefficient of restitution testing. They use a characteristic time, how long a metal ball will rest on the face of the club when bounced against it, basically. Some of them didn't surpass it because of a thickness difference of billionths of a nothing. basically a tiny amount, so that it's barely out of spec, and only a few of them, but they're having to spend, you know, millions of dollars to recall some of the square Sumo 2 drivers. You can find information on our site about that. KJ Choi's won, of course, with it last year at the Buick something or other, or the Chrysler, whatever, the car classic of somewhere. And his driver was legal, so no issues there with his win or anything. But if you've got a Sumo 2, check out the site. Go to NikeGolf.com and you can find more there as well. So, Shaq, tell us about Harry Vardon's son.
Well, back in the day of Harry Vardon, extramarital affairs and certainly the offspring of such were nothing to be talked about. And it turns out, after he passes away, a son turns up. And my question is, and he didn't really know his father until after he'd passed away. My question is whether the son ever played golf, and if he did, wasn't he good at it?
He probably used the baseball grip.
I mean, I read the story, and it was, you know, it was actually more sad than funny, but, you know, what are you going
to
do?
Well, LinkedIn, you can read just a quick one we wanted to pass along to you. Something with a little more weight is the LPGA releasing a list of banned substances. Of course, Jeff and I talked a lot last year about the PGA Tour and whether or not they should implement drug testing and so on. We both felt that they should because they got nothing to lose, supposedly, so why not put their money where their mouth is? And the LPGA kind of taking a step in that direction with a list of banned substances.
I agree.
Monica Sorenstam is going to have to learn about cocaine, she says, or steroids, or I don't know what else. But she says she has a lot of learning to do.
Right. There was even but she understood caffeine, which is not on the list, and cocaine.
Right. The tour will not test for HGH, human growth hormone. But it's a pretty comprehensive list and certainly a step, I think, in the right direction. Like I said, if everybody's clean like everybody says they are, they have nothing to lose by implementing a policy now. Otherwise, people are talking about it and speculating. So
I agree, and I think it's something the PGA should look for, and from what I've read so far, the LPGA model might not be a bad one for them to follow.
All right, so moving on to there's no good segue for this. Sergio Garcia missed a par putt on a hole and then spat into the cup. Basically hawked a loogie and let it drip from his mouth about 3 feet down into the cup. And in an interview with after the round, we'll link to that, basically says it was no big deal. Jack, yeah. Is this a big deal?
Well, it certainly was to my wife.
It's a big deal. It's ridiculous. He's caught on film as having spit into the cup. And his excuse is, well, it went into the hole where the flagstick goes. So if it, you know, nobody's going to get my spit on their ball or anything. So it wasn't a big deal. It's a big deal. He did it in the public eye on television in front of fans in a PGA Tour event.
Absolutely.
He's 27 and he's still acting like the 17-year-old he was when he first came out on tour.
That's exactly the point I was going to make. His little boy act is getting old. It's time to grow up, Sergio. And, you know,
he's 27. How many majors did Tiger Woods have by the time he was 27?
Yeah, I mean, this whole thing, you know, I don't know how many more beer commercials he can do before somebody figures out he's not winning enough.
Right. I said last year and the year before, I think, that Sergio Garcia may never win a major. He's 27. With the talent he has, supposedly, he should be there now. And he's AWOL. Short of playing the role of a banana last year in the British Open.
He's got to learn to putt and act the man.
And not spit in things. And, you know, I saw him, he duck hooked one out of, you know, into the water on 18 on, I think, Friday or Saturday. And Mike's picked up him saying, "You think it's so easy? You get out here and hit it." Obviously, a fan was kind of laughing at his shot or something. But again, inappropriate kind of reaction to.
Well, there's a London Times article. I don't know whether we're linking to it on the site or not. Somebody should go to the London Times and look. There's an article that recounts a whole litany of things that Sergio has done around the world that are untoward. Nothing quite as gross as spitting in the cup.
Moving on past hawking loogies, we got an opinion from Ron Syrek about testing tours, and he feels that the tour should test drivers as a mandatory kind of thing for hot faces or whatnot. Do you think that should fly or not?
I think it's something the USGA should be doing, honestly. You know, rather than, and I'm not going to go into the grooves thing, but rather than worrying themselves about grooves, they ought to have a consistent monitoring policy to test clubs after they've been approved to ensure they maintain consistency. I'm not sure that falls on the PGA's shoulders.
Well, it's a PGA Tour event. The USGA is not going to be there, you know, testing, because, I mean, pros go through 5, 10, 20 drivers in a week just to and then pick the one they like. So
exactly.
I think what I've heard, though, mostly is that most tour professionals have a driver with a core that's much lower than the legal limit because they lose control when you get hot. You know, the ball just kind of shoots off the face in whatever direction it wants to go. Tiger's, I think his driver's around 0.79 instead of 0.83 is the maximum limit. So he keeps his drivers a little lower so he can have a little more control. So I don't know that too many pros are really even approaching the limit. So
yeah, I think it's a non-issue because the manufacturers aren't going to let any pro go out there with a non-conforming club.
That would blow up in their face pretty big time.
Exactly.
Quickly here, Lorena Ochoa wins she birdies 4 of the last 5 holes after starting with a big lead and almost blowing it to win the Safeway. Of course, Jeff and I talked 2 weeks ago about Lorena Ochoa closing in and possibly surpassing Annika Sorenstam's lead in the, you know, the women's world rankings, however those are calculated. Should happen, you know, within the next couple weeks, and certainly good to see Lorena Ochoa playing well again early in the season.
To mix a metaphor, she is the man right now. She is playing so well. You know, Annika's got to dig a little deeper here.
And then our final note, we said that we would keep in touch with the Arjun Atwal speed racing, you know, car racing story. He was apparently going 80 miles an hour in a 45 mile per hour zone just before the car next to him flipped over and killed its driver. So 35 miles an hour over the speed limit is fairly significant. That'll pretty much get you your license removed in anywhere.
And rightfully so.
Yeah. So not much else except for that, but we told you to keep you updated, so there you have it. That about does it for episode 51 of the Golf Talk Podcast. I'd like to thank Jack for joining me and filling in for Jeff, who's on vacation or something this week. So thank you, Jack.
It's been my pleasure.
Keep it in the short grass, folks, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.